Blog Talk Radio.
Fair.
Blue shirt on the ground. Motherfucker!
Get the S arranged fair. Get the S arranged fair.
This is an unlawful gathering. This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media. This is the underground. This is new media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers. And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. 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 This is New York Rangers.
In my 35 years or so of being a Ranger fan, today was a complete microcosm of those 35 years. Surprise, bewilderment, disbelief, shock, awe, disgust, joy, disbelief, joy, disbelief, joy, disbelief, brief anger, joy, disbelief, utter amazement. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio on one of the, strangest days. How about that? Strangest days in New York Ranger history, which is saying a lot. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. You're right. From noon to night, it's been up, down, all around, everywhere you can go. And then they come out and they play the best game of the year. I mean, who would have thought that all this stuff and all this whirlwind, up and down, emotional roller coaster would wind up with the Rangers trouncing Pittsburgh? I mean, it was an absolute blowout from the beginning to end. So, yeah, I'm with you. Disbelief, doubt, everything. The GM is a buffoon. Then the GM is a genius. The coach is, well, the coach still. But the players, we brought all these grinders. That don't really solve the scoring. And then they get six goals. I mean, I don't know. I mean, my head's still spinning.
My head's spinning. I'm stupefied. What are they doing? They trade for a guy with a Chloe's got no goals. He's got no goals. No goals. No goals. Like the guy in the cell with Tyrion Lannister. No goal. No goal.
No goal.
No, now he's got two. He's got two fucking goals.
I got people texting me. He's now my favorite Ranger. After, like you said, when he laid that hit out in the first shift, it was get a look at me. I'm welcome to Broadway. This is what you're going to see.
Nah. I'm over here now.
Manny Meatballs is talking about Glenn Sather, how he looked in the box. I'll get to that later. But Siri, I mean, this has just been a tumultuous up and down day, and it's just going to get, I think, even more wackier as this all plays out.
Yeah, but we're headed for a crazy. What do we got? 12 games now remaining, and for all the talk about the Rangers getting leapfrogged by the Islanders, well, guess what? The Rangers have re-leapfrogged the Islanders and the Devils. And are now the seventh.
Wow.
The seventh.
I will sleep better tonight. I really had problems sleeping, being behind the Islanders, looking at the Islanders in a playoff position at the Rangers outside. I got to admit, guys, it bothered me. I said it on the last show that I have a problem with that. And then now that we're in the seventh spot, which I didn't realize until Jim said before the show, I was all giddy again, like I was during the game. I mean, how do the Rangers go from, they can't get anything from the bottom six guys, and in one game, the bottom six plays a hell of a game, and plays an awesome game. Your boy, Brian Boyle, with 3 points.
The thinker. The thinker. Brian Boyle, yes. Hart Trophy, here he comes. And I love the fact that Twitter absolutely blows up at me when Brian Boyle scores. Oh, somebody tell BSU Radio Jim Boyle's having a big game. He's going to go buy a number 22 jersey. Come on. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
I don't think they want you to do a mea culpa on Boyle. I think, listen, you do a lot of razzing of Boyle, so they're going to throw the razz back in your face.
Absolutely. And when he has a good game, I'm the first one to come on here. I did the apology song when he scored in Ottawa, which was that the last time he scored during the playoffs?
Right. 4 point. Yeah, but, yes.
I sang I'm Sorry on the show to Brian Boyle after he had that great run in Ottawa. But when he stinks, I'm going to say he stinks. Great game.
The way he's been the whole season, he's been terrible.
I'm off his back for tonight. What a day.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start? You want to start with the game? You want to start with the trades?
Well, let's start with, I don't know. You want to start with the Klo impact? Or let's talk about the John Moore, Derek Brassard, and the other dude.
Now, I haven't even pulled up the box score yet, but if I am correct, if my math is correct, I believe the new acquisitions combined for 8 points tonight?
Yes.
Is that correct? 8? Let's see. 4 by Brassard. Is that right? 4 by, yeah, 4 for Brassard. 1 by Moore. What did Klo have? 3 points. So 3 and 4. And 1. So these guys had like 28 points tonight. It's amazing.
Yeah. They're all like, they're already like in the top 5 in Rangers scoring. No, I'm only kidding. But
Klo was the leading goal scorer, and he was tied for the league in the lead in hits tonight. And he blocked a shot, so we can do that too.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Trading draft picks for Ryan Klo. We're screwed. We're doomed. This guy takes a red eye from San Jose. Doesn't even take him to New York. It takes him to Philly. He's got a hitchhike from Philly into Trenton. And then from Trenton, he walks in the rain to the Garden. Gets to the Garden. Doesn't practice nothing. Gets on the ice. Drops the bomb. Scores 2 goals. He's got a half hour sleep in him. Oh, amazing.
Well, it's certainly one of the, better debuts we've seen in a long, long time. And they're saying in the chat room, and I couldn't agree with him more. I mean, Derek Brassard had a really good game, too. He was good on faceoffs.
73% on faceoffs.
What was he?
73%.
Wow, that's magnificent. That's not pretty good. That's not good. That's magnifico. That's Yannick Perreault-like on faceoffs. Yes. I want to say something before we get a little ahead of ourselves here. I am the voice of realism, not reason, but realism. Now, we saw Klo, excellent game. I think he's, certainly been proven before, and I'm glad to see that the shoulder is okay, and then we have Derek Moore, John Moore. I was going to say Derek Morris. John Moore, okay, I know he got a goal. It deflected off Matt Cook's stick. Let's not get too crazy. But he did make a nice hit in that game, which I liked. I haven't seen the Rangers play a Ranger hit like that all year, pretty much. Brassard. Now, this all happened as they flew in. Came on the ice, played their hearts out, without 1 minute of practice with John Tortorella. Which, to me, I'm worried about. Because if there's anything that's going to poison the water here with these guys is when Tortorella gets them in practice and, you know, they're going to start to be taught the system.
Right.
It's
going to
mold them. I'm a little worried about that.
It's going to mold them. Look at Chris Kreider. Yeah. Chris Kreider comes in out of nowhere, scores 6 goals in the playoffs, then Torts gets his hands on him, and now the kid's a shell of himself. He might as well be Chris Everett out there.
Right. I mean, so I'm worried about the Tortorella tank, so to speak.
Right.
You don't want to get the tank. I'm worried about that. Taint the Rella over there. May just, you know. But what an effort by these guys. What a win. I mean, this was such. We were looking for a split. Now, you know, I'm so high off this. I mean, they can beat the Penguins in the IZOD, whatever they call that, Big Blue Center, wherever they play. And lack of energy center. They could go in there and beat the pantaloons off these guys. Because with all the great news about the Rangers,
the
Pittsburgh did not show up. Pittsburgh was, they didn't look like a team that had been owning us. But we took advantage of that, and listen, we got the job done. Now we're riding a gigantic 2-game winning streak.
Steamrolling.
Steamrolling. So I just worry about, all right, once Tortorella starts feeding him all this garbage that he does. Now, before we get into the Gavrik trade, I just want to say, listen, I think this was a huge I think this will quell the fire towards people for well, it probably won't.
No,
but I really felt that the fire Tortorella contingent really took a hit tonight because really they wanted this whole thing to fail. I mean, because they want Torts out there. And listen, I don't disagree with them. I don't think at this point John Tortorella is the coach that is going to bring him to the promised land. That's just me. Actually, that's about 95% of Ranger fans. And that plays in to the next subject, which is Marion Gaborik. Let me ask you, Jim, you have been a friend of mine and a friend of the New York Rangers, like you said, for 35 years or so. What does this boil down to for you, and what do you what's your thinking on it?
Well, I have... If I can have about 2 to 3 minutes to go through my thoughts, because I talked to a couple of different people today and I kind of put together how I'm feeling about this trade. I saw, if I had to take a guess between what I read on Twitter and what I read on Blue Shirt Banner and what I read on our Facebook group, I would say I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that 80 to 90% of this fan base was outraged. Well, 75%. I'll leave it at 75%. Outraged. Fire Torts. Fire Sather. How could they do this? They've wasted this goal scorer. Bah, 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 bah. Okay. If you want to look at it that way, that's fine. I was not outraged by the deal. I was shocked. Surprised. Didn't know. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know shit about the three guys coming in the other direction. Knew a little bit about Brassard. But other than that, didn't know a whole lot about him. Just going by what I read, wasn't overly impressed. I'm always happy when they get a guy who was the number one draft pick, but then I wonder, why was he a first-round draft pick? Or, excuse me, why is Columbus giving up on a first-round draft pick?
Why,
and then
I thought
to myself, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and he's playing on the third line in Columbus.
Right. And then I think to myself, because, of course, again, just like we talked about last night, Gaborik was traded. And then you have that nervousness because they don't announce what the deal is. All you get is Gaborik was traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I'm immediately thinking, and I'm sure everybody else was too, who the fuck are they going to get from the Columbus Blue Jackets that we could possibly want that's worth marrying Gaborik? So I'm thinking, there's got to be, I mean, in my mind, I was thinking, one of the guys that they traded for Nash has got to be coming back. And, yeah, part of me was hoping it was Brandon Dubinsky. I never had – I mean, yeah, we got on him, but I liked him. I mean, whatever. And then I
not
saw these
$4 million.
Names. And I'm like, yeah, well, there's that. Dubinsky. anyway. And then I see it's these three guys. And I'm thinking, well, why did they just trade Gabrick for Nash in the first place? Just straight up. You know, way back when. It would have been even money on the salaries, practically. And we wouldn't have had to write out all this paperwork for all these other guys. We'd still have Dubinsky, Artie, and Tim Erickson. We wouldn't have had to suffer through Roman Hamrlich. Right.
Right.
We wouldn't have to worry
You're
about
exactly
that. You're
exactly right.
I mean, why not just trade them straight up? But anyway. So then I started to kind of take a – I take what – my boss has taught me this at work. Take a 40,000-foot view of things. You look at it like you're 40,000 feet. Okay? So here is my thinking on the whole trade. I think the Rangers, like the fans, like most of this fan base, I think they overestimated, I think we all overestimated, how close they were to a cup. And I think they now realize that they're not good enough to win the cup this year. Okay? A lot of things
they
would have
just realized that.
Well, let me finish. A lot of things would have to go terribly wrong to a lot of teams for the Rangers to advance to the cup. And I think they look at a guy like Marion, they look at Marion Gaborik, they see a guy who is obviously not happy, a guy who doesn't get along with his coach and vice versa. And I'm sorry, I don't care what Kenny Albert said last night. You cannot tell me that John Tortorella was the biggest Marion Gaborik fan in the world. Maybe he actively wanted him on this team 4 years ago, but he was not a Marion Gaborik fan. Okay? The Rangers saw a guy who was mopey, pouty, making a lot of money with the cap going down next year, and they had a deal on the table, and they took it. There was no way, I honestly believe there was no way Marion Gaborik was coming back next season. The Rangers were happy with the deal that Columbus offered them, and they took it. When you have, in sports, except for basketball, which doesn't count because nobody cares, players versus coaches, the coach always wins. There's only one time I can think of in hockey, baseball, or football where a player and coach were this disconnected and the player won. And that was Mark Messier. And Marion Gaborik, excuse me, that was Mark Messier versus Roger Nielsen. And Marion Gaborik is not Mark Messier. Marion Gaborik was not going to win the war. John Tortorella was not going to be fired to satisfy Marion Gaborik. Gaborik is a great player when he wants to be. But let's face it, we saw several times where this guy would go into funks over the last 3 years that he was with the Rangers. Funks. And then all of a sudden, there'd be 9 goals in 3 games. Everybody go crazy. Get the fuck off his back. What do you guys don't know what you're talking about? Great player. Elite player. But a mopey guy. And a pain in the ass at times, it would seem. Didn't get along with his coach. I wish him nothing but the best in Columbus. And I think that's what it boils down to. The Rangers save a little bit of cap money. They get some guys that can contribute beyond 2014 because there's no way Marion Gaborik was going to be a Ranger beyond 2014. I don't think he was going to be a Ranger come October. Am I sad to see him go? A little. But am I devastated? No.
Well,
your turn.
I disagree with you on a couple of points, but Brian boils down to this, is that you're right. And, you know, love Kenny Albert, great guy. And you know, I may have to eat some crow on that Dan Girardi on the power play after he kept that puck in on the power play. But next time I see him, you know, it just goes to show you when it comes to Madison Square Garden, they're just not going to say what really is happening. And that's why we had guys like Rick Carpinello on who said to us on this show, that basically Gaborik was sick and tired of being Tortorella's whipping boy. And you know what? These guys are paid professionals, and you got to play through it, and you got to do what you got to do. But when hockey is not fun on any level, you cannot perform at your highest ability. This is a sport that you have to love and have to. This guy, and this is where I depart on you, you're calling him mopey. I'm not calling him mopey. I'm saying that the Tortorella sucked the life out of Marion Gaborik when he was here. Even though Marion Gaborik had 40-goal seasons here, had is second to only Rob Gilbert in career hat tricks as a Ranger, a guy that really was so miserable to play for Tortorella that he waived his no-trade clause to go to Columbus, Ohio. That's the kicker. You must be so miserable and so unhappy to play the game of hockey that you left the greatest city in the world to play in Columbus, Ohio, with a team that is uncertain of where they're going to play in the future. They have a history of, they've only made the playoffs, I think, once since they've been in the league. I mean, if I were Gaborik, I would have said, listen, it's either Anaheim, it's something, you can work out a deal there. But he was so unhappy, and he was treated, to me, like dirt by Tortorella. And I know the guy's European and he's aloof and he's not. Tortorella, we all know this. He loves the fire in the belly guy. This was a quiet guy. All he did was score. Now, I understand he struggled this season, but let's keep it in context. I mean, if this was a regular season, you know, he would have had a lot of time to turn it around. When a team is last in the NHL in goal scoring, and they're trading away to get more grit and more fire-in-the-belly type of guys, I've got to question their motives, especially when they're trading to a team that is 29th in the league in offense. So it's like both these teams suck. So I think a lot of fans felt that Gaborik could wake up and 40 goal scorers, and I don't care if it's a year removed, it's a commodity in this league. And I believe I put the fault on Tortorella. I do not put the fault on Gaborik. Sorry. He's played under Tortorella. He succeeded under Tortorella. And still, the guy, they said, Gaborik, play left wing. He played left wing. He wasn't successful there. He said, I'd rather play the right side. He played there for three shifts. The last few games, he's still playing on the left wing. That, to me, is Tortorella. So that trade boils down to two things. And like you said, coach versus player, coach wins.
Right.
Okay.
Don't let my take on this misconstrue my thoughts on Tortorella, because I do believe he is to blame here. I think both parties have to take the blame. I think that's what it boils down to, really. What it Brian boils down to. That's a weird new term.
I never saw a Gaborik operation shut down out there. I didn't see him like being lazy. I just didn't see. He just didn't have to jump, and when he got the opportunities, he screwed him up. I mean, at the epitome of the Marion Gaborik, the way it ended here was that penalty shot. That looked, I mean, it looked like it was terrible. It looked like Brian Boyle took that penalty shot. It was so bad, the stick handling on that. So I totally blame Tortorella for this. I blame him for Gaborik's departure. I do. What comes out of the trade remains to be seen. I'm not going to judge it on one game. I mean, I think all, you know, we're cautious optimism what goes there. Plus the Rangers, and you're right, the Rangers, Gavrik was going somewhere else at the end of the season anyway. The Rangers are able to dump some salary, clear some cap space. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I feel like we have 800 people in the contract. I don't know what's going on. It remains to be seen if that trade works out. I really, how fast we had to move him, and before this trade, a lot of people were speculating we might just get like, you know, a couple picks and that'd be it. The fact we got a couple players, we'll see how it turns out. But the bottom line is, and I feel this way strongly, and listen, I'm not one of these guys. John Tortorella, to me, is not bringing us to the promised land. I've seen enough. I've seen enough what this guy does. And if he wants to get us there with a team of grit, fine. But you know what? Now that Gavrik's gone, now that Kreider is gone, who's the new whipping boy? Who's going to be? You're going to find out. You're going to find out real soon who the next whipping boy. Who am I going to blame now? Is it going to be back to Delzato? Is it going to be, who's the next forward under the microscope? Matt Zuccarello. I'll pick any European because that'll be the first guy he's on. And I really believe that. This guy doesn't know how to deal with the Europeans. He needs that obvious fire in the belly guy. So, listen, they played great tonight. I don't want to bring everybody down. That was a fantastic game. But, and Marion Gaborik, to me, yes, he had the off year, and he's had an off year this year with the year with the 20 goals. But 40 goal scorers don't grow on trees in this league. And to me, Marion Gaborik, you know, the Rangers have never had much success with free agents. And to me, if I had to grade him, and maybe everybody in the chat room, as a Ranger, I have to give the guy a B, a solid B. And in the Ranger annals of free agents pickups, for that price, a B is the all-time greatest UFA, you know? I mean, so I'm sad to see him go, but it just wasn't working. Like, it came down to coach versus player, and that's it. And money. And I don't know what it would say. Sada looked atrocious tonight when they showed him in the box. I mean, I don't know what was going on. He looked like Peter O'Toole. He's chomping on that cigar. I'm like, dude, you just had prostate cancer surgery. What are you chomping on that cigar, you lunatic?
Yeah, switch to pretzels.
Switch to pretzels. Don't you know that causes cancer, you moron? He's wearing a jacket like he got it from the Salvation Army. What's going on? He looked like Howard Hughes up there. That's freaking ridiculous, this guy. They can't get him a nice jacket. He's chopping on it. Oh, my God. He looked like Burgess Meredith chopping on that thing. I wonder why I don't show him at the MSG broadcast. It's like, God. Glenn,
never.
Take care of yourself. Can he make any other trades between Phoenix and Columbus? Is there any other GMs talking to him?
Mario Jimmy said, Sather's collecting his own urine.
Yeah. Got the long fingernail. And poor Steve Delisle, he's getting shuffled back and forth.
Steve Delisle, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah, he's coming back and forth because this man. And listen, I don't know if the trade's going to work out. I wish Gaborik the best. I think he was a good Ranger. This guy scored a triple overtime goal in the playoffs. I mean, they worshipped Pete Stemkowski for like 20 years because he did the same thing.
He did the game tonight with Kenny Albert, by the way. I don't know where Maloney was. Stemmer. Yeah, Stemmer was in the booth with Kenny Albert. He was good. He was good. I listened to the whole game on the radio while I watched it on.
Kevin Stu wants to know Steve Delisle. He's the guy that's been traded back and forth from Columbus, the add-in defenseman. So I don't know if the trade could be good or not. I don't know if the trade could be good or not, but maybe that radiation that he got from those that chemo treatments, maybe it made him turn into Super GM. He's got like gamma rays in him or something. Maybe this trade will work out.
Yeah.
Too soon? Too soon?
He is Nick Fury.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Dave and Don Maloney lost their father today, so that's why Dave Maloney was there. Our condolences to the Maloneys. Stemmer was in the booth with Kenny Albert. Did a good job. You could tell he's following. I mean, he's still sitting watching the Rangers every night, that's for sure. I mean, he wasn't like trying to play catch up or anything. He did a good job.
No, he did. He's been doing hockey for years. I mean, all kinds of hockey. And but you, like you said, he's like in tune with what's going on with the Rangers and everything. He's not like a casual fan,
right? Yeah, I mean, he wasn't just like sitting there telling 40-year-old stories about Eddie Jokovic or something like that,
right? You know,
no, he was doing a good job breaking down the game, things like that. He was good. Daniel Fierstein says he used to be the Sharks analyst on their radio network. What's he doing? He came over in the Klo trade. That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Klo trade looks awesome. I mean, I liked it. Well, you know, I didn't kind of semi-liked it because you remember on the last show. See, the thing is, when you go on a radio show and you say things, it's documented.
Uh-oh.
And I was worried. What?
Uh-oh. Derek Brassard said after the game, honestly, when you don't think during the day and you just show up, sometimes you play your best game. See, there it is. Tortorella will get him thinking. He won't score a goal.
It's all over now.
He won't score a goal until Traverse City. If he makes the cut. Oh my God.
Don't worry. He'll be overthinking by he's got him in – he's probably bag skating him right now after that comment.
By the way, it's after 11 on the East Coast.
You know,
can I work blue for a minute here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sidney Crosby's got this broken jaw.
Uh-huh.
He's sucking dick through a straw now.
Oh, my, that is good.
We were having our little group chat with the guys out here, and I made that comment. And as soon as I did, the Rangers scored their third goal in a game. So my joke got like lost in our chat, and I'm like, that goal totally overshadowed my great joke. I said a joke like that comes along once a year.
I like it. Late night, Loomshirt Underground Radio, after dark.
Working blue.
You did it good. You had a good setup and a good punchline. Very good.
Thank you.
I had the problem with. Listen, he's got no goals. The heart, like you said, he's got the bad wing. Why is San Jose getting rid of this guy? And he looked good. I started getting texts from everywhere. He's my new favorite Ranger. Right after the hit, he's my new favorite Ranger. So it's hit, crushing hit, and everybody loves you.
He's unstitching the McDonough jersey as we speak.
Yeah, not me. No, I was getting texts. I was not believing. McDonough had a nice goal tonight, boys and girls. He's back. I'm still jazzed over that victory. They don't beat the Penguins. When you beat them badly, that's great. I think everybody at Madison Square Garden was just shocked they would come out and do that. Just shocked. Pleasantly surprised. I don't think they knew how to handle it. But of course, Pascal Dupuis was having a good season, no doubt, but that guy always scores against us.
Yep.
Did Bo Bennett play tonight? In a couple of shows, I'll get that ready for the next.
I didn't hear his name.
No, I don't know. Did he trust? Did anybody know? Bo Bennett trust.
He probably didn't because Sam wasn't doing the game.
Yeah, guarantee next game he'll be ready for Sam. And Bo Bennett. So, frankly, the Penguins, none of their guys. Gimlet, to me, was non-existent. I mean, the big trading line acquisition, the James Neal, Malkin, nothing.
Nope.
You see Malkin and Zuccarello kind of chirping it up during pregame?
No,
that,
I like Zuccarello.
I like Zuccarello. I really like Kenny Albert, really loved.
Yeah, big fan. Big fan.
He loves like the way he sees the ice. And I don't know. I don't know what this means. I mean, again, I'm still riding high from the victory, and I hope that, when Tortorella doesn't get a hold of these guys, start to transform them into the alternate tail of Pyatt in about four games.
Stop coaching, John.
Yeah, that's your next one. Stop coaching, John. I mean, was Taylor Pyatt held off the scoreboard tonight? Pisey. Even the regeneration can't get, and Asham with a nice fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Him and Tanner Glass, they got a little bit of history. That was Asham, like 10 seconds after the or two. That was 2 seconds after the first game against the Penguins, they dropped the gloves. So yeah, they got history, and they tried to go when who took the penalty on the Penguins? I can't remember. Somebody was going to the box for the Penguins, and Asham and Glass were getting ready to get into it, and the linesman separated them. Pisey's one of the only guys on the score sheet without a point.
I was going to say, even that complete no one could keep the even the hunchback can't get any goals, picking any points in that rousing win. This
he
just in from
forehand.
The chat room. Oh, who cares about that? They're the most useless stat. This is just in from the chat room, and Howie Sussman, our reporter, from Gross Record Rangers owner Jim Dolan in post-game locker room, shakes John Moore's hand, congratulates him on debut.
And then calls him Chris Drury and left the room.
Cool. Thought it was Roger Moore.
I got to meet Chris Drury. That was so cool.
I love when you were 007.
I'm sorry your wife died.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Well, Mario's saying it was doubly more. Who knows? I mean, was there a Nick practice? Is that why he was around? Maybe a late night practice for the Knicks? I have no idea why that buffoon would even be in the.
Jeez.
Oh, my God. So, hey, listen, we're riding a high, Jimmy. I mean, you know, let's all sort out. But it's still the same thing. Tortorella, I still firmly plant him, you know, I think you're with me on this. It's not going to happen with this guy, but we got some new toys. We got some new players to love, hate, embrace, and, you know, I'm just waiting who Tortorella is going to pick on next because that's the kind of coach he is.
I'm still on the fence with him. There are times where I start screaming. He's got a guy. Most of it's around
he
the house.
He just chased the 40-goal scorer out of town to Columbus, and you're still on the fence.
I don't even want to get into it. Sometimes I walk around the house screaming at the walls about this guy, and then there's other times I'm like, you know, he knows what he's doing. I don't know. I can't put my finger on this man. I can't put my finger on this team.
Jim.
I'm out of my mind, Eddie. I don't know what I'm doing.
Jim. In any other sport, with a guy with basically a 500 record for 4 years, be allowed to coach basketball, football, especially football, with only, you know, they talked about how many wins they have on the Glenn Sather's tutelage during the game. I'm like, how many playoff series wins do they have on his reign of terror? I think 3. or four, maybe. So let's, you know, I have to look at it that way. I'm not a guy who thinks he's a bully all the time. I think he just gets a bug up his ass, and I really think he plays favorites, and it's still going to go on with Chris Kreider, and that bugs me. I mean, I don't think Kreider's a world beater yet. I think he's got a lot of work on his game, but the way he treats a guy, and I don't think with young players, you can't, even if they play well, say, well, you know, he's still making dummy moves out there. I mean, it's just like, sorry, tough love guy. This is not the way it works. Nobody else is coaching this way. But I don't blame the entire misfit of a season on him. I think a lot of the onus goes on the players. But do I think he's the coach that's going to bring us to, you know, where we all want to go? I've seen enough that I can tell you the answer is no. I don't care that he won a Stanley Cup before. Peter Laviolette's won a Stanley Cup before and more recently. But he's probably going to wind up, biting the bullet in Philly. Even though they managed to beat the Canadiens tonight. They're only like 4 points behind us. That's to be done another day, whether. But what really I got out of this, and I could be wrong, is that Tortorella is here to stay, and that message was sent with Gavrik's departure.
I would
so agree. Even if the Rangers don't make the playoffs, we're stuck with him. So he's here, and we've got to deal with the players. I don't know enough about these players to make believe there's a judgment. I have to watch them. You know how I always say, give me a dozen games, I pretty much can assess any guy. And sometimes they surprise me, you know. I got a lot of flack for saying that JT Miller wasn't NHL ready when I said it. He had a good game, and that was about it. You know, I'm not saying I'm Mr. Scouter guy, but let's just see how this settles in. But the trade was going to be made because Gavrik wanted out of here, and it was Tortorella's fault. I'm sorry. That's it. That's what it boils down to. Torts 1, Gabby 0. I'll take Columbus. So, we have any phone calls, and what's going
on?
We have lots. All right, let's get to them.
All right. Justin, what's going on? Justin does not like the trade and does not like the coach. So,
wow,
this ought to be interesting.
Hey, fellas, what's up?
What's up?
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't believe what I'm watching. I'm currently 5 minutes left in the third period. Where has this been? I find it a little hard to believe that this all of a sudden is because of three guys and one guy gone. I don't know. I find that a little hard to believe. What do you guys think of tonight?
We just spent 45 minutes telling you what we think of tonight.
Well,
we put you on the phone. Johnny, you want to hear what we think?
Well, I mean, I
start the show over.
All right, so
it's been a hard day for all of us.
I mean, from what I saw from that Broussard kid tonight, I really liked. He has good vision. He's a pretty skilled passer. He won a ton of faceoffs. I mean, he played excellent, I thought. So I don't know much about him. I did see he was a sixth overall pick a couple years back, but that's really all I knew about him. I don't know. I'm not happy really about losing Gavrik. I don't know. It's tough. I just think that it's hard to lose a 40-goal scorer and not get at least a first or second round draft pick back and be happy about it. You know what I mean?
Well, like I said, with Gavrik, it's Tortorella. I mean, they were an impasse. Gavrik was not happy. He didn't want to play here. I'm not saying that's his fault. I believe it's Tortorella's fault. because Gabbert did everything. He did cartwheels for Tortorella. He probably washed his car. He did anything. And for Gabbert to accept to waive his no-trade clause to go to Columbus, Ohio, instead of staying in New York, New York, shows you how miserable the guy was here, was playing here. And that was John Tortorella's fault. That wasn't he was unhappy with his teammates. That wasn't he. It was he was unhappy that, you know, he's playing left wing, even though he wants to play right wing. It's being benched, spiked Bucky Beaver Richards. No matter what slump he goes into, he gets minor little slaps on the hand. That it just all came to an impasse. Draft picks, screw them. Draft picks don't mean nothing to me because they half the time they don't work. And if Columbus makes the playoffs, they're not even going to get a good draft pick, even in the step. They got some bodies. It looked like they looked good tonight. Just to summate what I said before, Justin, after a couple days with Tortorella, they'll probably be all poisoned and spoiled anyway, and they'll be useless. They'll be tailor pilot.
No, I hope not. I certainly hope not. I don't know with Torts, man. He really has me upset. I was a big supporter of him last year. But, I mean, he's really soured on me pretty quickly this year. And he just, I don't know. He seems like he's just so arrogant. And he just, that's been my problem has mainly been with the fact that he wasn't willing to just let the players play. It had to be his way or the highway. And that's part of the problem, I think, with Gavrik is just, you know, as you know, Gavrik wasn't great along the boards in the dirty areas. And I just think that, you know, with the way he's treating Kreider and now Miller being sent down, I mean, I understand the moves, but I just don't know with him. I was angry earlier after the trade. I just hope they can continue to play the way they played tonight, because what I saw was a completely different team. I don't know what to make of it yet, but it's just guys.
Only time will tell. That's all we will find out soon enough whether this was a bad move, a good move, a mediocre move, whatever. But I think Gabrick's in a better place for him. Hockey will be fun again. And the Rangers are really, like Jim said, they're done with, you know, they don't have a malcontent. And there's something to be said for a guy who's unhappy on your team, not getting along with your coach. It can spread to the rest of the locker room, even if it's not done really overtly. So maybe just by that, the Rangers can improve. And
you could tell he wasn't giving it his all. I mean, you could see that. In the last couple of games, he gave it his all, but probably because he knew he was going to be dealt. But I don't know. I mean, I think the deal really hinges on this Broussard kid. Like I said, I don't know much about him, but from what I saw tonight, the kid's got some serious talent. I mean, there's a reason why he was drafted, you know, in the first round, sixth overall. Just the question is, can he harness that talent? If so, we have a young, good player, and the deal's not so bad. I liked what I saw from Claude tonight, and even the young defenseman is a good skater. You know, he scored a goal. So, I mean, the trade isn't, you know, after watching them play a little bit now, you know, obviously we got to give them some time to evaluate, like you said before I got on the phone. But I don't know. I guess the next 2 weeks will tell us, you know, we'll kind of seal our fate. So,
yep.
I guess.
Yes, we will. All right.
All right, Justin, we got to run. We got a lot of calls on hold. I will talk to you soon. We will talk to you soon.
Later, fellas.
Bye.
No.
Hi, Frankie. All right, next up, holding the longest, 973-287. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Daniel. How you doing, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You know what? This was one of the greatest victories I've ever seen the Rangers play against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it was absolutely wonderful. I don't even care if Crosby is on the ice or not. We kicked their butts. It's beautiful, and I love it. Now, the trade. Yes, I was shocked that Gavrik was sent to Columbus, but the way they were playing, so inconsistent and the power play was very bad, you know what? I understood why. And look, this is the name of the game. This is the business. These things happen. And maybe Tortorella did rub Gabby the wrong way. But let's be honest here. What are we most interested in what Marion Gaborik is supposed to do? Number one answer is this. You put the puck in the net. And he did not do that this year. He didn't do that 2 years ago.
Number one answer?
So let me just say that, you know, it's tough. I wish him the best in Columbus. But you know what? Getting these guys so far, it's a great restart with one more full month left in this regular shortened season. Now, let me also say this. I didn't know what we were going to get with this short season once the lockout was over. And the year after the Rangers won the Cup, there was a lockout. They barely got into the playoffs. And, it, you know, the same thing happened there. They didn't go far either. Is Tortorella the guy? Some will say, okay, I'll say this. 75% will say no, 25% will say yes. And I'll be honest, I am in the 25% camp. Because why? Because I think that John Tortorella, while he may be picking his spots on who will be the next whipping boy, he's doing it because he gives a fucking damn about this hockey club, and he wants to win. Your turn.
Okay.
There you go, Eddie.
What's the debate? I mean, listen. I mean, my turn? Right, next issue. He gives a damn? He gives a damn when Brian Boyle is out there on the power play? He gives a damn? He gives a damn when JT Miller goes scoreless in the month of March, but he plays him in every situation? Meanwhile, Chris Kreider, who's a stud prospect, is getting benched every time he farts if he doesn't like the smell of his farts? Is he a good coach when they have the worst scoring team in the league? Is he a good coach when their power play is abysmal? Is he
ready
a
for
good
tonight?
Coach? Before tonight? What is tonight? They won one game against a team that may just play second to back-to-back nights. That came off a big winning streak. May have been going through a little bit of a sag. I was supposed to get right behind John Toiler until he has the right players now. He had the right players when Richards was supposed to come here and help Gaborik. What did that Fakakta Richards do? Absolutely zero. He had no chemistry. You want to talk bad about a guy like Marion Gaborik who had a triple overtime goal in the playoffs? Played hurt? I'm sorry. I disagree with you. You can be in that 25%. Go ahead. Kiss Torts. Make love to Torts. Hold a banner outside that
make
looks like
Torts. Make love to Torts.
Whatever you want.
I never said go that far.
Look at the record. Look at the record.
I know what the record is.
You're
I've seen the record. I've seen this whole record.
Guy.
Of course. Listen, you're right. You are right. But the point is that.
Right.
A point. No, you're right. But the point is that, you know, when you. Listen, I understood why they gave up Dubinsky and Anisimov to Columbus to bring over Rick Nash, because he puts the puck in the net and he's got great skill and he's still got plenty of years left over. But the big concern that I had before, even before the season, before this whole lockout really scrapped half a season away from us, was that Brandon Prust, and regardless of what anyone says, Brandon Prust would be missed. Even Fedotenko was missed. Not re-signing some of these guys.
What about Vojtech Volsky? Do you miss him too?
No, Volsky completely sucked. Volsky sucked. I didn't want Volsky to come back.
Brandon
I thought he sucked too.
All of a sudden, he's the savior. Look at his stats.
Yeah, I didn't say he was the savior. I'm just saying that there are times when you knew that there was certain times.
He left us. You don't leave us.
I know he left us, but let me say this, and I've said this many times. I told you I would have overpaid for us to stay. That's me. Like I said before to you guys, I would have overpaid Prust to stay. Yeah,
what?
He overpriced himself from Sather. You're right.
Nobody.
You're absolutely correct.
Nobody.
But still, though, I would have overpaid him. That's just me, because maybe I see his intangibles to be a lot better than whoever they had on the roster at the time. When it comes to those the grit, the third-line guys, the fourth-line guys, because How many times did Press put a shorthander into the back of the net when no one expected him to? I'm not. Listen, Eddie, we will both agree to disagree.
Where was
Brandon
Russ in the playoffs when we needed a goal? Nowhere. He was terrible. He had a lot of fights. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Daniel. I know they missed the grit. What, we have to get every grit player in the league now because of Brandon Press left us? They gave away. They're 30th in the league in scoring. I'm just saying that, listen, that's not, I'm not throwing Gavrik under the bus.
No.
If anybody is throwing under the bus, I'm throwing Tortorella. You and your 25%, you build a shrine of the guy.
I understand.
Not taking it to the promised land. Thank you right in the end, and I'll be the first man to come on and say, listen, you were right. Tortorella's the right guy. We won the Stanley Cup. I love you. Let's hug. Let's make up. Let's sit around and sing Kumbaya around a shrine of Tortorella. But
Eddie,
as far
Eddie,
as I'm concerned, the guy is terrible.
Eddie, this is why I respect you, and this is why I like you, because we are both cut from the same cloth. Even though we've got different
no,
of opinion,
not.
listen. You gotta let me finish here, man. Listen, let me finish here. Even though we got different opinions, we both love the Rangers, and we both want to see the Rangers succeed. We do.
Of course we do. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I love listening to you, man. We have a difference of opinion, and that's true.
I respect your opinion partly, but guess what?
Dismissed!
You're not coming on this show and then start with Tortorella. And he's going to lead us to the promised land and then try to turn it all around so we're friends. Daniel, we're friends, but you got to change the way you're thinking, because John Tortorella is not taking us to the promised land. That's your first boom, I think, and it may not be your last. Come back here with a new way of thinking. Dismissed.
Oh my goodness! All right, I don't know where. I think we lost. Somebody dropped off there. 347-869. You're on
the air. Hey, what's up, fella? How you doing,
Holy
fella?
Holy shit! Look who's out of the woodwork tonight. This can't be good.
Yeah.
Chandler, how are you?
I'm all right. I got to be up 4 in the morning, but I had to stay up for this tonight. So.
We appreciate it. Holy shit! You're gonna be tired. What's going on? How you been? Missed it, the viewing party.
Yeah, I know. I just found out about the job, so I kind of had to get everything together for that, so, you know. But it was a hell of a game tonight, wasn't it?
That it was.
Surprised the hell out of me. I never saw this coming.
No. And as you know, I like the Klo trade. I thought that he would be good doing what he did, which is around the net. You know, scoring the dirty goals, doing all those things. I don't like the Gavrik trade. I'm never going to like the Gavrik trade. You know, you would call it salary dump or whatever, but they could have got those same players for him at the end of the season. They just gave away a 40-goal scorer because of the coach. You know, as you said, because of the coach. And Gavrik bears some blame, but I put the most of it on the coach. You know, we'll see how the trade plays out, but I don't get how he reminds me of Mike D'Antoni, in that he is bound and determined, come hella high water, to prove that his system works, and whatever else be damned, he's going to get players that fit into his system. He's not going to adapt the system. He's not going to change his system. He's not going to modify his system. He's going to get a bunch of third and fourth line guys. Yes, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. How many people thought we would? Let's be honest. Before last season started, nobody thought we were going to go that far. And we're some diehard Ranger fans, and we were hoping just to get out of the fucking second round. Okay? We went to the Eastern Conference Finals with a team full of third and fourth line guys and one bona fide scorer, which was Gavrik. Now we once again have a team full of what? Third and fourth line guys and one bona fide scorer, Rick Nash. So that's the only type of team he can coach. But that's the only type of team he can coach. That's why he's benching Kreider all the time, because Kreider's an offensive stud. What is he going to do with the other offensive studs we have in the pipeline coming up? Is he going to bench them all? Is he going to trade them all so he can get his third or fourth line grit guys, the Jam guys? I'm sick of hearing about Jam. I'm sick of hearing about Jam. I'm sick of hearing about Jam and grit and sandpaper. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, we need a team full of third or four. We need a team full of Brandon Pruss. Please. Brandon Pruss is getting paid a lot of money to do what in Montreal? Not score goals. They have goal scorers to do that. So why do we need a team full of Brandon Pruss? We already have guys who can't score goals.
I agree with you. I mean, I've said this even on my Ranger Crisis little videos. He can't coach offense. He can't relate to an offensive player. He has no – and I'm telling you, watch Zuccarello. He's going to be the next whipping boy because he's got some offensive talent and he's European. Watch it.
I mean, listen, I would love to be wrong. You know, I would love and you know, I think we're going to win the Stanley Cup every year. And I want to be wrong. I want to be totally wrong. I want to have to say at the end of the season, I was wrong. Okay? I want Derek Brassard and John Moore and this kid who's hurt, by the way. By the way, we traded for a guy who's out until May. That's all I'm saying. We traded for a guy who's injured for the rest of the season. Okay?
Yeah.
We traded a 40-goal scorer for two guys Genius. Who can play and one guy who's injured.
Exactly.
And what reality does that make sense?
It comes down to what we said. The coach wanted him out of here. Gabrick wanted desperately to get out of here. And that's probably all you could get for him. And,
yeah.
You know, the Rangers are thinking, but is this what it's going to be? It's going to be, we can allow one offensive center and one offensive forward, and the rest, everybody else has got to be two-way. I mean, you know, or be a third-line type of player. I mean, I don't know. I at this point, I feel that the coach plays favorites, and I can't stand that to the detriment of the team. It's okay to play favorites if the guys produce, but and you're winning. He's a 500 coach. He had 3 months of last season that they played excellent hockey. After that, 500.
And, you know, I think one of the things that I don't know who said was you or Jim said about when you have an unhappy player, it does suck the life out of a team. And the Rangers look like a brand new team tonight. Maybe that was because everybody knew Gabrick was unhappy. And, you know, an unhappy, yeah. It's like working with a guy who's miserable. When you work with a miserable person, you become miserable. You know, and once that person leaves, everybody seems to work better. You're not working any better. You're just happy that the miserable fucking guy is gone. You know?
That's
so
a good point,
maybe
I agree with
that, you know, it's addition by subtraction. Who knows at this point? But, you know, before all the people who hated Gabby start crowing about this win, we're only tied for seventh place. And we still have a very good a very good chance of not making the playoffs and the Islanders making it.
Okay. Rangers are in the playoffs.
That's what Tortorella's system has got us, is we're fighting the Islanders for a playoff spot.
Well, we'll just see, Chandler. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll see what happens, but I think you raised some good points. Just moving a guy that is not happy out of there. But still, now these players got to deal with this guy, and I don't know. Listen, and I think Kevin Stewart raised it in the chat room. Well, where were you Tortorella haters when we were in the playoffs? I can tell you right now, I'm talking to one. Chandler has hated Tortorella since day four, okay? He hated him. I hate this coach. He made no bones about it. There's several callers coming in. I hate this coach. So he's one of them. And he said, you know, the Rangers are in the semifinals. I still hate this coach. You know, he started every conversation with that in the playoffs. So
Glenn Sayers is a fucking pimp.
Right. And now we're going to find out.
Glenn Sayers is a fucking pimp.
We're going to find out if Chandler's right, if Glenn Sayers is indeed a fucking pimp after all these trades. All right,
All right, guys. You have a good night.
Chandler, good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Don't be a stranger.
All right.
Take care.
All right.
All right.
Let's go to 631-678. Rob Bouchard, Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, boys. It's Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Margaret Hurley, how?
Yes, I'm feeling violated.
Holy cow. This is not the great hotline.
I have to tell you, why are the New York Rangers like an onion?
You keep peeling and they still make you cry? I don't know. Something with crying.
That's pretty good. The answer is you have to peel back through so many layers to find the root of all evil.
This evil
okay,
in
now,
onions.
Now, here's the thing. You know I'm a conspiracy theorist.
Yes.
You know
yes.
You know how I like to climb up on the grassy knoll? So.
Right.
So here's what I'm thinking, and there's a couple of different conspiracies I have going on all at the same time. You know, we watched the whole season, this whole, you know, truncated season go by, and we saw Tortorella do everything he possibly could to make Marion Gaborik unsuccessful and unhappy.
Agree.
Why?
I agree.
Why? There's a reason, and the reason was, or could have been, several. There's several reasons. Number one, they weren't forthcoming with how he was recovering from that torn labrum, which, by the way, the guy played through the playoffs with last year. Torn labrum is a bad injury, and it's a tough thing to heal. It's tough to come back from something like that, okay? So, torn labrum, maybe he's not going to... Damaged goods, what are we going to do with this guy? $7.5 million cap hit. Let's see. Let's put him in a position not to succeed and then make him so miserable that he'll accept a trade to anywhere. Okay? You do that, John Tortorella, and evil Sather is at the top of this mountain issuing these commands. I don't know what Torts is... M.O. is, why he has his favorites, why he punishes people, why he picks on people. I don't know that. But the bottom line in all of this is that, pure and simple, it's a salary dump so that Sather can regroup his forces and have to sign all of his unrestricted free agents that are coming up next year. And that's understandable. How it was done is... there's so many different underlying parts of this onion. And then the next thing I thought of, well, you know, maybe Glenn might have some sort of a deal going with John Davidson. You do me this favor, John. You let me dump this salary. You send me back, you know, a bag of pucks in return, and I'll put you at the head of the list to succeed me when I finally either croak or decide to stop being general manager. That's a little bit far-fetched. But the bottom line here is that I feel violated by all of these things that go on that we will never know a damn thing about how it came about. You know what I mean? That's why I feel violated. I feel like, you know, they're constantly sticking it to us, doing these things that are inexplicable, trading a 40-goal scorer for practically nothing, and mistreating a guy and being allowed... lousy coach to the guy after he puts everything on the line for the team last year and plays hurt and everything else. It violates me. It violates my intelligence. It insults our intelligence. And the bottom line is I'm violated because they just don't care about how we feel or what we think. That's why I feel violated.
Well, I mean, I understand that, you know, certainly, we know this organization really has not cared about the fan since Glenn Sather took over. You know, you could say whatever you wanted about Neil Smith, about the bad deals he made and whatever, but they cared about the fans to a degree. I mean, you know, so I definitely get you there. Now, as to your conspiracy theories, you might be half right with the Tortorella making life just hell in order to dump him, but wouldn't you say that Tortorella's in his best interest would to have Gaborik scoring, having Gaborik leading them to the playoffs again, now with Nash as the compliment, that it's I can't go with that he wanted to drive Gabrick out, which he wound up doing, which I totally give you full marks on that. This is on John Tortorella. Yeah, you know, they can lie to us. They can tell us that, you know, Gabrick is, you know, playing well and he has no problems with John Tortorella. False. Completely false lies. Total lies. The only guys you're going to really hear, like I said, Rick Carpinella said it. He couldn't take the benchings anymore. He could. It's not fun. Tortorella drove him out. I just don't think they're smart enough to come up with any kind of diabolical plan like that. I mean, I don't see them that smart. I don't think Glenn Sather's that smart. I don't think John Tortorella is that smart. And you know, so I don't give him enough credit. You give him credit. That's where we differ, but I think we arrive at the same conclusion. John Tortorella is the reason Gabrick's not here.
Yeah, but the other thing I was going to say, though, was, you know, you don't give them enough credit, but, you know, if there's no consequence, like, why would John Tortorella not want Gabrick to succeed? There's no consequence to him if he doesn't like the guy. Whatever the differences were between them, he was soft, he was European, whatever. There's no consequence to him because he's not going to be fired. People are even saying now that they can't even see towards being fired if they don't make the playoffs, that he's here for good, that he's basically untouchable for as long as Sather wants him untouchable. So in that sense, why does it behoove him to have Gabrick succeed? To me, I would think you would want Gabrick to succeed so he would have a higher trade value. So instead of getting back a sixth-round draft pick, you get back a first or a second in this deal. But no, that didn't happen. So I can understand why it doesn't mean rat's ass to Tortorella, because he's got his job no matter what.
Well, yeah, I think if you go from that viewpoint, which I don't think is that far-fetched, I mean, Jim Dolan's hung on to Glenn Sather, who I call the GM for life. I mean, that job is till he appoints somebody, it goes down the bloodline or wherever it goes, and once he dies or something. I mean, that's basically how he's going to lose his job. And who's to say? I mean, Dolan really was talking Cup last year, and at the 24/7, he may have endeared, Tortorella may have endeared himself for life, too.
Then,
so,
Dolan was in the dressing room tonight?
Yes, he was.
Jesus Christ, that's the kiss of death.
Yeah, well, I think I thought he thought Carmelo Anthony was there for his 50 points last night, because I have no idea. Yeah, he shook hands with John Moore, and
wow.
and said that I loved you in the Bond movies. I don't know what's going on with Dolan, but I like your conspiracy theories. Keep them coming, Tanya.
That's why I like being in the underground. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I listen. You were one of our first callers when we switched the names, so.
Yeah,
all right, Margaret.
That's right.
I just have one other thing. I want to say one other thing. If this keeps up, you know, that's fine. I'm glad they're able to keep it up. But the proof is in the pudding, and I'm not climbing on the happy happy joy joy wagon until I see these bums string together 5 or 6 wins and maybe really make a run. If they revert back to the same old stuff tomorrow and the day after, then you'll know the bump just came from the newbies, and it's back to crap as usual.
Yeah, well, let's see if Tortorella effect, they haven't had the Tortorella effect yet. Once they couple practices, they might be back to the same, moxes and, whatever. So, yes. Yeah, I'm same with you. Let's see some positive stuff for a while, then I'll become one of the shiny, happy people.
All right. Take care, boys.
Take care, Margaret. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Great Margaret
Hurley.
One
and only, Margaret Hurley. All right. We got one more call. 914-400. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim and Eddie. What's up? It's Mike calling again.
Hey,
hey Mike.
Mike calling again. How you doing?
What's going on?
Just it's
been a whirlwind day. Whirlwind day.
At least we're not Adam Hall. What is it, like Tampa Bay, Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Philadelphia, and it's out of 1 week.
It's ridiculous. Adam Hall is like, he's on the Steve Delisle Express. He's going back and forth, that dude. But so what do you think about the whole thing? Give us your emotions. Jim started the show by saying he was up, he was down, he was frightened, he was disbelieved. Where were you?
I'm just exhausted. It was a long day, a long 2 days of the closing and, you know, everything that happened and fighting. Of course, I'm at lunch, where, you know, before a big meeting with the Gabrick thing. And literally my phone's on vibrate during work. So for like 2 hours after the trade happened, my right thigh's getting a nice massage. As well, back and forth, you know. But I look at the Gabrick trade. I think I talked about it a little bit last time I called. I kind of have a different view about it, and that I think it's good asset management. It sucks losing a 40-goal scorer, but, you know, this is a cap league, and they got some good young pieces back. You know, John Moore, I've liked the guy for 2 years. He's going to be a good young defenseman, hopefully for a long time. He's like 20-21. Broussard's a guy, he's a lot of skill. He just never really lived up to his potential. Maybe he becomes like a 50-60-point player. And Dorsett down the road, he's kind of like a Prus player. He's rugged, and he'll be a useful piece, hopefully they go on some crazy run, or definitely next year. So I would like to get like a first-rounder back or some more. It sucks not being able to draft till the third round when they have like 80 picks there, but I do like it in terms of they got a lot of young assets back, and they got some pieces, and this is how competitive teams like the Wings and other franchises stay good for consistently like 10 or 20 years by having a lot of good young pieces. Not superstars, but just people who can play.
I certainly listen. Your review of them is actually made me think more of this trade. I mean, I certainly did not know all that much about these guys, and you know how I trust your analysis, which is, listen, it sounds pretty good. But don't you think this puts the Rangers back in the position where they have to find another goal scorer? And do you think that the money that'll be freed up with the cap, and will they be able to do that? Is it going to be just a one-horse show here again with Rick Nash? Or do you think the Rangers have the scoring to maybe supplement that with Hagelin and Stepan having a good season? And where do you see that going? Because I feel like they took a step backwards, you know, in that regard.
I think the thing that's interesting to me is, A, are they going to buy out Richards this summer? Because, I mean, and B, also, it's, they have all these pieces now. Unfortunately, I mean, they still got Pye next year. They got Ashen next year. They got, you know, Pye. Loyal. Yeah, Piesy. I don't mind the guy. They got all these guys, Ashen and Piesy, and all these guys, and they're Powell under contract next year. And my question is, and just in the conversations I was having, it's, what about JT Miller and Chris Kreider? Where do they fit in? What about Oscar Lindberg and Jesper Foss? Where do they fit in? I think Foss is going to be that guy, like the guy with the skill. He's the X factor, in my opinion.
Hold on.
All this.
I got to stop you. Did you listen to the show last night?
Yeah.
He said it right.
He got the pronunciation. That's what I'm saying. He gets full marks.
Full marks.
Pay attention. I like it. Good for you. Oh, good for you. All right, get over here. Sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, he's another. But it's just, where do these four kids fit? You know, they have these, like, you know, slums like Pi and Pow and on the cat. Where are they going to fit these other four kids in? You know, what if Michael St. Croix or Christian, what if one of these guys is good enough to make the team? Then they got all these pieces and not enough room to fit them in. Do you give these guys fourth line minutes? I mean, do you go with four lines you could score? I know it's all what if stuff, but I think that's where they want to get the goals from next year.
No, I mean they tried that this year with playing Miller and Kreider. It just didn't work out. It's really interesting under this coach. Where are they going to be skill guys going to play? And can you play enough defense and have enough cowboy in you in order to make up for how good you are offensively? Because that's what it boils down to, is that anybody with great hand-eye coordination, who's a great skater, but doesn't hit, doesn't play on this team, and it's going to be an interesting thing. Where are these guys going to play? They've got to get rid of Taylor Pyatt. They've got to get rid of, I've seen enough of him to tell you he's useless. I'm not saying something that's so, you know, a great revelation here. I mean, Brian Boyle, we all know where we stand on him, despite his 4-point epic night tonight.
Rocket Richard Trophy, here he comes.
Yeah.
You raised some interesting questions, and you know, we'll see what happens. I feel like there's a little bit of disconnect between what Glenn Sather wants and what Tortorella wants. Because if you notice, Glenn Sather is the one bringing these Europeans over, the one who's been talking up Oscar Lindbergh, the one who's been got Zuccarello to come back here. And these necessarily aren't the type of guys that John Tortorella endears himself to.
I think
you even asked Kenny Albert about that. You alluded to that last night. Like, Tortorella doesn't seem to know anything about these guys half the time. And Kenny was like, oh, no, he knows about
them. Oh, he knows. He doesn't. He's been quoted saying, I didn't even know about this guy.
Brandon Prust, I don't know anything about him. Anton Strowman, I don't know anything about him. Meanwhile, Strowman had signed 3 days before, and he let the cat out of the bag on Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, good for you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
thank
I think
you,
I don't want to take up the guys all the time. A couple more about this whole the European thing. I think that's definitely that's like a Gordy Clark, Jeff Gordon, and Anders Hedberg. That's a lot of their influence. I think they have, you know, hopefully they have a say, and they could at least be some kind of checks and balances. Be like, Torts, dude, you got to put some of these European guys, you know, who have skill in the lineup. And Oscar Lindbergh, you know, whether Torts likes to know him or not, he's playing in the SEL semifinals. He scored the game-winning goal the other night, and so he's playing really well. He's playing at a point-per-game pace. He picked up his game. He's crashing the net in these highlights I'm watching. Just two other things. The closing, he played really well tonight. He's at that age where those power forwards start to decline. I really hope next year he doesn't come back and become like Tim Kerr or something like that. By the time Tim Kerr got to the Rangers, or, you know, all these guys, yeah, these power forwards, like Gillies, John LeClair, Adam Graves.
They have a small window of when they're good. There's like a 4 or 5 year window, and then it's Kaputsky. Ivan Kaputsky, actually.
I'm sorry?
Yes, go ahead. No, go ahead. Jim is laughing for some reason. I don't know why.
I was laughing at the Ivan Kaputsky reference.
Oh, okay.
The last thing, though, is like the John Mort, which is kind of, there's some good and there's some kind of sadness to the whole John Mort. This kid's young. I like, he has a lot of potential. They could finally, they have to worry about the Stu Pickles and the Matt Gilchrist. They could finally, especially when Stahl comes back, if he's able to come back this year, they could finally play six defensemen. And then, you know, even next year, you have, you know, McElrath and Strama and build some depth. But the sad thing is, it's an indication to me that they got John Mort. He's in here for the long haul. It means that it just kind of puts the reassurance that Michael Sauer's done for good. And, you know, we probably will never see him. Contracts up this year. I mean, that hit he took, that was like ECW, man. That was awful. And Pristunov just leveled him. And so it's a little bit sad, but it's also good. And they don't have to play McDonough and Girardi like 80, you know, 50 minutes a game now. They could actually, John Moore and Mark Stahl, they got some bottom pair. They could keep it down.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I gave up on Michael Sauer a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we're beyond the point. I mean, really. I mean, come on. Concussion, if he hasn't recovered well enough to play professional hockey in this amount of time, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going the way of the Richard Scott, who got punched in the face and never came back. And concussed so much. I mean, it's sad, but I'm going to be curious to see if John Moore, when he is made that sixth defenseman, when Stahl comes back, will he be relegated to the 4 minutes a night that every other sixth defenseman plays, or will he be trusted by one John Tortorella to, you know, for him to roll all three defensive pairings semi equally? So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely. This guy could skate really well. I mean, unfortunately, he's a lefty, not a righty, but the Torch likes those guys who could skate and make a good pass, and this guy seems to have both those attributes.
He threw a nice hit, too, tonight, which I like. I like this.
He's a big dude. You know, he's no—he's like Christian Backman or one of these guys. They got this big dude. Yeah, God.
Jeez. All right, it's getting late, and we're bringing out Christian Backman, so it's time to go. That's the way I look at it.
Have a great night, guys.
Take care. Thanks for your call, man. It was really cool. Really
take
good.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, there you go.
Well, we got one more call on hold.
All right, let's bring him on.
What's going on, Cutsy?
Hey guys, how are you?
How you doing?
Hi.
How you doing? I'm doing fine.
Good, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Been a while.
I know it's been a while.
Somebody's at the door, Jeff.
No.
Yeah, right. Who would be at my door near midnight?
Pizza delivery.
I didn't order pizza.
Okay.
Anyway.
I think it was Justin ordered you a pizza.
So, Jeff, you must be happy that the Rangers have beaten the Penguins tonight.
Yeah, and I called it yesterday. I told you guys in the chat room, no Crosby, no problem.
Oh, I hope you're right, because they're playing them again, and, you know, they didn't look good tonight, the Penguins, at all. So what points would you like to make on this illuminating radio program?
Well, I just wanted to give my thoughts about the Gavrik trade.
Okay.
Okay, first and foremost, I was going to ask this question in the chat room, but I decided to phone it in. The question is, could the trade have been voided because Dorsett is out for the year?
He could return by the playoffs, is what I heard.
Because I thought hockey had a rule that you can't trade damaged goods or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I guess they figure that he can make it back before playoff time, so I guess it's not a damaged goods thing.
Yeah, I know in other sports that there would be problems if you try to sell, like, an injured player.
Yes. And were you shocked to see Gavrik go?
The most shock I was is that why Columbus? Why not, like, Chicago or Anaheim or any other Western Conference team?
Okay, and Rangers got a couple games coming up with the Leafs. Are you going to be, is your allegiance going to be torn?
My allegiance has to be torn, but I'm hoping for a split.
Yeah. All right, that's
Jeff
fair.
I also want to say that congrats on getting
Jeff
John
Diamond.
Moore, former Kitchener Ranger.
Okay. Yes, I was happy to hear that John Moore is a former Kitchener Ranger. They said that during the
Jeff
broadcast.
Diamond.
And Jeff Diamond is from Kitchener, Ontario.
Yeah, and Amateur is a former Ranger too. Former Kitchener Ranger, in fact.
So, how is the Kitchener? Are the Kitchener Rangers doing very well this season?
Jeff Diamond.
Kitchener has to play London in the conference semi starting on Friday.
He's Brandon.
All right, Jeff. Well, we've got to go. We're coming up against midnight.
You guys are coming up against us next week. May the best team win.
Yes, thank you for your sportsmanship and your patronage. Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, so long.
Oh, answer that door, by the way. Answer the door. Well, how do you think the eulogy will go with Sam and JD, Sam and Micheletti on the next broadcast? Oh, fine, Ranger. Oh, Joe. It just didn't work out here.
You, did they, Sammy? Got your striped shirt on, Sammy? That's one of his favorites. Got your striped shirt on tonight, Sammy?
those two buffoons, I really miss them. I miss them. God knows. I do. Because, you know, in a win, though, it's good. When they lose, I miss them more because when they lose, I have somebody to yell at other than everything else. So that's the end of this Fakakta show once again. which has been my favorite word of the week is Fakakta.
That's a great word. For Stunkin's a great word. Fakakta's a great word.
So, well, I'd like to thank everybody, and especially you, Jim, for this late night. I thank everybody for coming out, Facebook page, the whole bit.
Yes, we love you.
Twitter. We love you, everybody. And a lot of the guests tonight in the chat room love you, plus all the regulars, plus some new people. Keep it coming. Keep the faith, Ranger fans.
Yep. Good to see all you guys tonight. We'll talk to you soon. Good night, everybody.
Let's go, Rangers.